Okay, Hare Krishna. So we're on chapter 2 today, Divinity and Divine Service. We're doing text 1 and 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Ramchaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tito Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Avadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, can we say this together? Are you familiar with again? You have to lock it in place. It was locked. Okay. Can we say the English translation together? Are you familiar enough or do we need to repeat it? Does everybody have it? Who has it memorized, the English translation? Okay. We'll repeat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranaran Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're doing chapter 2, text 1 and 2. We'll repeat together text 2, okay? I'll just do text 1. Vyasuvacha iti samprashna samhrishto vipranamro maharshanai pratipuja vachas tesham pravaktum upachakrame. Translation, Ugrashrava, who is Sutta Goswami, the son of Romaharshan, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmins, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the sages of Naimisharanya asked Sutta Goswami 6 questions, and so he answered them one by one. Do you remember your 6 questions, or their 6 questions? Who can give me the first question, or one of the questions? What is the absolute good for everyone? Another one? Andreas? Why, you understand the reason why Krishna was born. Please explain that to us, okay? Okay. Clayton? What is the essence of the scriptures? Kishore? Could you just say it again, please? Yeah, his activities. Please explain his activities and his pastimes. I think that's 5. Is that? I'm not, sorry, taking count. But, so there's another one. But the... His incarnations, the activities of the incarnations. Did we miss one? Oh, with Dharma. There's so many questions there. And what's the important for a man who's about to die? That's also... Yes, dear? We're kind of mumbling that over here, yes. Where's the shelter of the religious principles now that Krishna's left the planets? Okay, so text 2, we can repeat that. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Yam pravajantam anupetam apeta krityam. Yam pravajantam anupetam apeta krityam. Dvaipayano viraha katara ajuhava. Dvaipayano viraha katara ajuhava. Putreti tanmaya taya taravo vinedus. Putreti tanmaya taya taravo vinedus. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munim anan anatosmin. Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munim anatosmi. Sutta uvacha. Yam pravajantam anupetam apeta krityam. Vaipayano viraha katara ajuhava. Putreti tanmaya taya taravo binedus. Tvam sarva bhuta hridayam munim anatosmin. Please chant. Sutta uvacha. Yam tvarva jantam anupetam apeta krityam. Dvaipayano viraha katara ajuhava. Punyeti tanmaya taya taravo vinedus. Sarva bhutam hridayam munim anatosmi. Yam pravajantam anupetam apeta krityam.
Thank you.
Goswami
Uvacha
said,
Yam
Hum Pravajantam while going away for the renounced order of life. Anupetam, without being reformed by the sacred thread. Apeta, not undergoing ceremonies. Krityam, prescribed duties. Dvaipayana, Vyasadeva. Viraha, separation. Kartaraha, being afraid of. Ajuhava, exclaimed. Putra iti, O my son. Tat mayataya, being absorbed in that way. Tarava, all the trees. Abhinetu, responded. Tvam, unto him. Sarva, all. Bhuta, living entities. Pridayam, heart. Munim, sage. Anatta asmi, offer obeisances. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, O my son! Indeed, only the trees, which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the bereaved father. Think we can do that together? Slowly and together? Let's do it. Srila Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter into the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing the reformations by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, O my son! Indeed, only the trees, which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the bereaved father. Purport. The institution of Varna and Ashram prescribes many regulative duties to be observed by its followers. Such duties enjoin that a candidate willing to study the Vedas must approach a bona fide spiritual master and request acceptance as his disciple. The sacred thread is the sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharya or the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Sukadeva Goswami did not undergo such purificatory ceremonies because he was a liberated soul from his very birth. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory process, he is born for the second time. So they're right. You do have to be born again. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for instructions of the Vedas. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born, or dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas, and after becoming well-versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra, or qualified Brahman, thus realizes the Absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate status of a Brahmin. A progressive Brahmin must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is a self-realized learned Brahmin. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the beginning. Therefore, there was no need for him to undergo all the processes of the Vanashrama institution. Ultimately, the aim of the Vanashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or Vaishnava. Anyone, therefore, who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first-class Vaishnava, or Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava, is already considered a Brahmin, regardless of his birth or past deeds. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle and recognized Srila Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name, although Thakur Haridas appeared in a Mohammedan family. In conclusion, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Any low-born person, be he a Kirata, Huna, Andra, Pulinda, Pukasa, Abhira, Sumpa, Yavana, Kasha, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was the spiritual master of Sri Suta Goswami, who therefore offers his respectful obeisances unto Srila Sukadeva Goswami before he begins his answers to the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So here we have some very important information about the understanding of the position of a properly situated Vaishnava. The situation is how Sukadeva Goswami, right from his very birth, actually right at the moment of his birth, when he actually... Sukadeva Goswami has an interesting birth, which we'll just briefly discuss here and then go on to the other points mentioned in the purport, because you'll come up with the information of Sukadeva Goswami's birth in the upcoming verses and chapters. So Sukadeva Goswami... He was the son of Vyasadeva, and he remained in the womb of his mother for a little extended period of time. He was in the womb of his mother for 16 years, actually. He had no desire to come out because he was a self-realized soul. But he was a self-realized soul on the Brahman platform. Brahman platform, not Brahman. Brahman platform. In other words, he realized the nature of the absolute truth and its oneness and the unity of all living entities, etc., etc. But Srila Vyasadeva, becoming concerned that Sukadeva was not coming out of the womb, was a little ponderous what to do. So he spoke, he tried to encourage Sukadeva to come out of the womb. And somehow, because they are two great souls, they were able to communicate. And Sukadeva Goswami expressed his reluctance to come out. Said, if I come out, more or less, and then there's so many difficulties and there's so much opportunity to fall into illusion, better that I stay in here. And Vyasadeva didn't want to accept that. And so he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually what he did was he actually went to Dwarka and brought the Lord, Krishna, who was in Dwarka at the time, to come and promise his son protection. And when Krishna promised Sukadeva Goswami protection, then he agreed to come out of the womb. So he had already, in the womb, he had already heard Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by his father. And so he became attracted to Krishna and the personality of Godhead and the his pastimes and activities. And so... Here's how Prabhupada's saying that Sukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from his birth. So, in other processes of self-realization, there are factors that are very important. One is birth, one is qualification, and etc., etc. Those factors are very important because we can understand by your study of Bhagavad Gita, and you can understand studying the laws of karma, that a person takes birth according to their past deeds, right? So if someone has performed many pious and spiritual activities, they take a birth that's conducive for cultivating spiritual life. If someone's performed many sinful activities in their previous activities, then they take a birth that's conducive for continuing sinful life. So according to one's birth means what one did in one's past life, then one takes a birth in that position. That's a basic simplistic understanding of the law of karma. Karma is very, very complicated, but to get the gist of the understanding is that, you know, you get what you deserve. And you get what you desire. If you're desiring to enjoy in the material world, then you'll get facility like that. If you've... Okay. You have to qualify that statement. You can't just say that. But, you know, if you desire to enjoy in the material world, then you'll get facility according to the amount of pious or impious activities that you've done. But you'll get the facility to continue that desire. So desire is really, really, really important. And in fact, it's explained that desire is practically the only exhibition of our free will that we can exhibit. It's desire. Question already? I'm not telling you to fulfill your... Okay. What I'm trying to say is that according to birth, we've taken birth according to past desires, okay? So we, all myself and some of us in this room, have taken very low births according to past desires. But because we've had the opportunity, and this is the point, one of the points being made, because we have the opportunity to hear, Prabhupada says that, so somebody who hears from the Uttam Adhikari or the perfect Vaishnava, they get the opportunity to change their desire towards spiritual life. So when that takes place, then what one needs to cultivate that desire for spiritual life. We have many desires. You know, we have material desires and we have spiritual desires. So we have to try to keep ourselves in the proper association where we can cultivate our spiritual desires and make further progress. It's kind of it's true that I'm making very broad statements at this point, but we're trying to get to the point give a little bit of background information to get to the points in the purport that are being made here. So what I was saying was that in other processes of advancement, like karma, or like jnana yoga, birth is very important, and one is restricted according to their birth to how they can participate in different practices. But in the process of bhakti, birth and material situation, one's situation in the varnashram dharma situation, status of social life or spiritual life, that's not the criteria. Anyone can take to spiritual life if they have the proper desire. In other words, they make sincere inquiries from the spiritual master, from the bona fide spiritual master, and they take up the process. It's explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates on it in Nectar of Devotion, how previously, even in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's time of preaching, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he preached this Vaishnava principle that anybody can take to the process of Vaishnava initiation, take to the process of bhakti, take up the process of sadhana bhakti, or practicing the rules and regulations, and make progress in spiritual life. And therefore, he would initiate people who were quote unquote low birth or this or different situations. It caused at that time, even in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's time, which wasn't so long ago, a great disturbance among society and people, because what's known in India as the caste Brahmins really put up a great fight against that. Srila Prabhupada said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj correctly established that birth is not important. Now, that's not a new principle, but it gets covered over because people have a tendency to superficially follow religious principles. And then when they're superficially following religious principles, they're just absorbed in rules and regulations or rituals, and they forget what the essence of the teachings are. And therefore, oftentimes what happens is that people argue over details of religious practices. Just like there's one song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, why do you feel inimical to people who might close their eyes while they worship, or might kneel down while they worship, or might do different ways, worship in different ways than you're accustomed to? Why do you feel inimical to that? Ultimately, if someone is trying to develop their love of God, even their knowledge might not be as complete as someone else's knowledge. There is understanding of God in most of the basic religions being practiced, but people forget that God is the center and that love of God is the goal. And they're thinking that to establish our religion, our church, our sect, our this as the supreme, that's the important thing. And therefore, there's so much arguing of details. But here, the major point in this purport is that to come to the level of a Vaishnava is way beyond the conception of Brahmanism. So if you're a little familiar with the Varnashram Dharma system, so you have four Varnas. Do you know what those four Varnas are? Clayton? And what are the ashrams then? It is, but I think he'll realize. I was thinking that he would realize it if he said it, but he will. Yeah, so the ashrams are the brahmachari ashram. It's a, you know, brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram. And what's the purpose of the varna and ashram system? What's the general purpose or goal, Shruti? Very important. So Shruti Srava was saying that, Shruti Sargar was saying that to engage everyone according to their propensities in service so ultimately they can realize Krishna. In other words, to engage them so that they can make spiritual progress. From whatever, we're all in different standards and statuses of life, whatever standard or status of life we're at, engage ourselves somehow or other to make spiritual progress. The goal of Varnashram system is to make spiritual progress in this life. Understanding that this life isn't the all in all, and the goal of life isn't to satisfy the senses, but the goal of life is actually to make progress towards developing our relationship with the Supreme. So, in the ashram system, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, or in the varnas, whatever your status is, that actually, unless one is making progress towards spiritual life, then their whole life is wasted. So in the organization of society, according to the different varnas and ashrams, the Brahmin is a very high status of life, considered very elevated. And it is a very elevated situation. But beyond that, there's a few gradations mentioned in the second paragraph in the purport. Can you see the progression there that Prabhupada makes of the Brahmin? What does he say comes after someone becomes a qualified Brahmin? What's the next stage called? Not yet. Before that. Dvija. What was the understanding of Dvija? What does Dvija mean? Second birth. Dvi means two, and Ja is from Janma, birth, so second birth. So what is, can you explain what that means, second birth?
T
Yeah, Prabhupada says it really nicely, as he usually does. When he sees a new light. Okay, very first sentence. When generally a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory process he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks directions for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for the instructions of the Vedas. So that's called, that's dvija, second born. That you take initiation from the spiritual master is called your second birth. First birth from the mother and father, that's quite ordinary. Birds, bees, animals, all sorts of, every living entity has parents. That's nothing fantastic. But to seek a new direction in life and to seek progress in spiritual life, that's special. So that's called dvija. So previously, that initiation was automatically brahminical initiation. But in this age, and even from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, their first initiation, how we follow the first initiation is the Harinam initiation, where one gets the mantra from the spiritual master after some time of chanting the holy name and then following the regulative principles. Then second initiation is given there. So that's brahminical initiation. So what's the next stage that's mentioned in that purport after becoming a qualified Brahmin? Okay, all right. Prabhupada says Vipra, or qualified Brahman, thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life, and then reaches the Vaishnava stage. So these are just different understandings or levels of realization of the absolute truth. But oftentimes we might take the process a little cheaply. When we think that, oh, well, we're all Vaishnavas here. You know, we automatically come to this Krishna consciousness movement and we're being trained as Vaishnavas, and therefore our status is superior. But actually, to be a qualified Vaishnava is a great thing. Oftentimes, in conversations with Srila Prabhupada, the devotees sometimes would hint at their misunderstanding of this. And Prabhupada would say, to be a servant of the Lord is a very great thing. It's not a cheap thing. It's not that just one, you can just come in here and put tilak on your face and put kunti mala around your neck and maybe wear a sari or a dhoti and think, now I'm a Vaishnava. But to actually get the qualifications, to actually imbibe those qualifications within the heart, the mind, and the activities of a Vaishnava behavior is a very great thing and takes quite a bit of purification. So, Prabhupada's making the point that it's a very high stage. In fact, it's higher than the brahminical stage. Yes, Prabhu? Good point. Thanks. We often forget that. We become absorbed in a similar way that other people in other organizations become absorbed in thinking that they're superior to others. When actually one of the greatest qualities of a Vaishnava is humility. But anyway, how to get there? We come from all different backgrounds and different statuses and levels of consciousness. How to get to these highly elevated stages of devotion, genuine stages of devotional service? Amrita Kaliji? Sure. I'm asking you. Okay. You're correct. Serving the spiritual master, associating with devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami describes it as the process of sadhana. The process of sadhana bhakti, practicing the rules and regulations according to the order of the spiritual master and the in the instructions of the scripture. By taking up the process of sadhana, one will cleanse their heart, and gradually, and by doing the process of sadhana, following the rules and regulations because of the order of the spiritual master, gradually one will come to the stage of love and attachment, real love and attachment. The heart will become cleansed, real love and attachment will take place, and one will actually come and to the level of raganuga, following the rules and regulations, not because we're obliged to, but because we're totally attached and attracted to. It's a different impetus. The impetus to serve is different. The impetus to serve at this stage is the rules and regulations. And what we're in a situation. You might be in a communal situation as you are here. So there's always some pressure. Might be verbalized and it might not be verbalized. But there's always some pressure to follow the group's activities, which is good. It's good at this stage if it's properly applied. But and by following, rising early, chanting, studying the scriptures. Then the heart becomes cleansed, the mind becomes cleansed, and one gets a genuine attachment to these things and begins to follow because of desire, attachment, and attraction. It's a different, out of love. One follows out of love. So oftentimes it's said that someone who's on that platform is above the regulative principles. So what does that mean? Above the regulative principles sounds a little like, oh, I don't care about those. I don't have to follow those. But it doesn't mean that. It means that I'm above. That person might be beyond that because they're coming from the platform of total attachment out of love. Whereas someone who follows the process of sadhana by the rules and regulations and the order of the spiritual master, that's very good. And we need to come. Like the Prabhu was saying, we need to come to this level. It's almost like we're not even on that level. We're in a subhuman platform. We need to come to that platform and then look forward to further and further purification. So in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada, he explains any low-born person, and he lists a whole bunch of different races of people that have not so clean habits or activities. Kirata, Hunda, Andra, Pulinda, Pulkasa, all these low races, or even lower, because he left room for us in the West, even lower. They can come to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So we're really, really dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And that's actually one of the principles of Lord Chaitanya's movement. We get the opportunity, the mercy, to hear from the spiritual master, to hear from the great souls. And take up the process. And then we also get the opportunity to distribute it to others, somehow or other. By distributing prasadam, by distributing the holy name, it's actually a principle of Vaishnava behavior. That actually, it's not that we're interested in keeping the information to ourselves, but actually we want to distribute it to others also. So all of these things are there in the proper attitude and etiquette of a Vaishnava. It's a great science. And Prabhupada, in the last sentence of the purport, he makes a really important point, how Sutta Goswami, we mentioned this previous classes. Sutta Goswami, he was present in the assembly of sages who heard Sukadev Goswami while he was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. So Sutta was among the many sages there. And he now is repeating in this forest of Naimisharanya, he's repeating what he had heard from Sukadev. And so before he begins, he's first offering his respectful obeisances unto Sukadev Goswami, understanding that without the mercy of the spiritual master, one can't make any progress. So he's first and very correctly offering his respects to Sukadev Goswami. The gist of it. You're totally bewildered, or you have any questions or clarifications? Yes, Prabhu. Vanashram Dharma system. Thank you. Because I actually wanted to talk about that a tad. The Vanashram system, the Varnas and the Ashram, the spiritual Ashram, and then the statuses of life and this and that. There's established by the Lord. Remember, in Bhagavad Gita, you know, he establishes that from the beginning of creation because he wants to establish an organized society so that people can make progress. Without society being organized, in other words, without people in general understanding the higher values of life, then it's very difficult for those who are just, for those who are interested in spiritual life, if they're in such a minority, you can see what it's like for us, always working against the tide of civilization who's hell-bent on enjoying their senses to the max at every second and nanosecond of time. So, but Srila Prabhupada would often stress there's Daivi Varnashram. Daivi means transcendental Varnashram system, and that's the goal of what his thing, because the goal of Daivi Varnashram is to establish a society that supports, you know, one's Krishna conscious endeavor. So it's so oftentimes, and Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted to establish Varnashram system. In fact, he said, 50% of my work remains unfinished because I haven't established Varnashram system. But as you continue to read in the scriptures, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't, like when he was talking with, thanks, Ramananda Roy, and he was questioning Ramananda Roy as to the goals in life. Ramananda Roy gave different answers according to Varna and Ashram. And Lord Chaitanya said, that's just superficial. It's just superficial. I'm not interested. So many people, and because the system of Varna and Ashram is, or Varnas, is so much degraded. It's practically non-existent, you know, as far as the organization of society. Of course, they're always intelligent people. They're always people that are more heroic and administrators, and they're always people who like to earn money, and they're always people who don't have any of those qualities, but they can help do things. So that vague template is there. But the real purport of, import of the Varnas is like so far beyond that it's practically impossible to reestablish in this age of Kali. So, why does Prabhupada want to do it? Because it would facilitate many, many, many people coming to Krishna consciousness and gradually making progress. The thing is that there are, relatively speaking, very few people who realize the value of human life, and when they hear from, like reading Srila Prabhupada's books, they want to take up the process seriously and get out of the material world. That's pretty rare. But some people will come and say, yeah, that's kind of nice. Yeah, that's okay. And they'll do that, and they'll do this, and they'll do that, and they'll do this. So if they had a system, if things were available for them to participate on any on a broader level, then they would be able to make more progress. Yes. Yeah. They can take part somehow or other. they could work somehow or other in the process. Prabhupada said,
many times he said,
in the future, people will come to our farms by the thousands, and they'll have to be engaged somehow or other. So how are you going to engage thousands of people? You know, you have to have a broader base. It's a big topic. The discussion of Varnashram is a big topic, and you'll hear people argue on both sides of the coin. That it's superficial, we don't really need it in this age, blah, 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 blah. Prabhupada just chant the holy name, and there's a truth in that. And then Prabhupada wanted it, and it shouldn't be established so that we can have it, and that's also true. So you have to try to go navigate the waters in the middle. Other questions or clarifications, Maria? Yes, definitely. Yes. Oftentimes, there's many different places Prabhupada's made the phrase, and the scriptures make the phrase, that one who's on this platform of Raganuga is above the regulative principles. And many times people think that that means that they don't follow the regulative principles. They don't have to because they're above them. But that's not the correct understanding. So above the rules and regulations means that they're following them not because they have to, but because they're attached. But they still follow them. They still follow them. And then, of course, then there is those wonderfully wild avadut personalities, even Lord Nityananda himself, that are totally beyond any rules and regulations. And oftentimes there's prayers that even if I saw Lord Nityananda enter the liquor house, even if I saw Lord Nityananda marry a low girl, still he's the Supreme Lord. He's still the Lord of my life. So it's even another level. Yes, Gopal. Could you just say that again? How do you know you're on the Raganuga platform? When you no longer need to eat or sleep. Good point, because oftentimes we think it's a cheap thing. Actually, there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Nectar Devotion, there's instructions by Srila Rupa Goswami gives the characteristics of somebody and sadhana bhakti characteristics of somebody on this platform of Raganuga. So oftentimes someone in advanced stages, there's, you know, tears from the eye, shivering, this and that. Those characteristics that are listed, oftentimes those characteristics can be very easily imitated. Shivering, rolling on the ground, stunned. Those can be easily imitated. But the other characteristics that are listed there, how one is 24 hours eager to hear and chant about the Lord, how one doesn't want to waste one second of time, etc., such as by eating or sleeping, those things can't be imitated quite so easy. So the more you become familiar with all the different aspects of the scriptures, you'll see. That's okay. I'm glad you didn't trip. Things are delineated very scientifically, and it's not a cheap thing. Oftentimes, the easiest thing to say is, oh, I'm a Vaishnava, oh, I'm a this, oh, I'm really attached. That's the easy part. But to do it is another thing. To come to that level, and that's what we want to do, come to that genuine level that it's there in the heart. And it will come gradually. And you know how one of the ways that it definitely comes gradually? By taking prasadam and cleansing the heart and the mind and chanting the holy name. Okay, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.